Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 51 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Tourism totally exploded, so their market has grown greatly.
The bourbon industry leads to expansion for Rowan County business.
The State Trail Town Summit comes back to Moorhead next week.
The old Rowan County Jail is undergoing renovations.
The first Friday of the season will take place this week.
The Fairview Independent School District is in financial trouble.
In sports, MSU baseball is in action against UT Martin.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight, a low of 40 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Local business will receive $3.5 million in tax incentives to expand. Independent Stave Company is the parent to Moorhead Wood Products on Cranston Road. The company announced plans to build a $66.5 million cooperage in Rowan County over the next 2 years. The Kentucky Economic Development Finance Authority approved ISC for tax incentives up to $3 million through the Kentucky Business Incentive Program. Additionally, it will receive up to $500,000 in tax incentives through the Kentucky Enterprise Initiative Act. Moorhead Rowan County Economic Development Council Executive Director Bob Helton says the expansion is great for Rowan County.
The project's going to involve about 220 new employees. Plans currently are they'll design the project this year, the rest of this year, start construction in 2019, and the facility should open up in 2021.
Helton says the demands of the bourbon industry expanded the stave market, which has initiated benefits across the Bluegrass State.
The second annual Kentucky Trail Town Summit returns to Moorhead next week. The summit offers training and certification in things like trail construction and maintenance, bicycle route development, community planning, and marketing for adventure tourism, among others. Joy Brown is executive director of the Moorhead Tourism Commission. She says the hands-on outdoor training will be accompanied by informational presentations and networking opportunities within the tourism industry.
The first one was last year, and the intention was for it to move around, but Moorhead became a really good venue for this because, you know, we have the conference center, we have excess of trails in our community, and we're surrounded by the Daniel Boone, so it became that we were going to host the second annual one.
The summit takes place at the Moorhead Conference Center on Tuesday the 10th and Wednesday the 11th. Registration is $40 or $25 for students.
Mayor Jim Tom Trent says Moorhead's recent purchase of some land was needed as part of its effort to help acquire a larger property for its planned police and fire station, and it will have a side benefit. According to Trent, the quarter-acre site will assist some people working on another local project.
Nonprofit group here in town for recreation purposes that ties in to us being the third trail town in the state. And again, can't give too many details, but that was a key starting point or a key cog in that particular project that we needed to acquire.
Moorhead paid $2,000 for the quarter-acre site, which is located near downtown. That property will provide access to a 3 to 4 acre property the city is working to buy for the new police and fire station.
The man helping lead the effort to renovate the old Rowan County Jail on Moorhead's Courthouse Square says a good deal of the project has been completed. Gary Lewis is with the Rowan Historical Society, which is doing the project.
The first floor is pretty well done. You know, it needs some just the general cleanup, and we really think it will be ready for use, you know, here within a couple of months. The second floor, electrical completion, and the roofing and the HVAC still need to be completed. We estimated somewhere in the $40,000 range.
Lewis says the cost of re-roofing the nearly 90-year-old jail will cost $9,000 to $13,000 all by itself. He notes the Rowan Fiscal Court has offered to pay for that work. Lewis hopes the Historical Society can get a grant from the E.O. Robinson Mountain Foundation to help pay for the remainder of the project. Once completed, the facility will become an arts studio.
The fourth annual First Friday Vendor Market kicks off tomorrow in Moorhead. Each year, the Round County Arts Center hosts a vendor event the first Friday of each month from April through October. Arts Center Director Ashley Gillum says the event will feature local artists, crafters, and fresh farm items.
We invite people who hand make, home produce, or do, you know, it's items produced by that person. We invite them to come to the Arts Center lawn, set up a booth. It's $10 for a regular spot, $15 for electric. And the booth fees go to help support the Round County Arts Center.
Gillum says those who shop at the First Friday Outdoor Market will be buying local. The event begins at 4 p.m. tomorrow on the Arts Center lawn.
The Fairview School District is facing some tough choices when it comes to meeting their state financial requirements. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson has the story.
By Kentucky law, school districts are required to balance their budget and keep a 2% contingency fund. The district is facing a $250,000 deficit. According to the Daily Independent, not meeting the requirements means the future of Fairview as an independent school district could be in danger. Fairview's temporary superintendent, Phil Eason, says the district is going to meet the state requirement even if they have to face some unpleasantness. A budget fix list was presented to the Board of Education, which includes raising the property tax rate, selling the former elementary school building, cutting administrative costs, and asking the community to help with volunteer work. The changes must be implemented in a balanced budget adopted by the end of May. For WMKY News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Educators in Pike County traveled to the Kentucky Education Association rally in Frankfort on Monday and staged their own rally in Pikeville the following day. The school district canceled classes Monday to allow teachers to travel. Pike County Strong organizer Patricia Collins tells the Herald Leader educators wanted to continue the momentum for Tuesday's event.
Next thing I knew, my house was full of people, and we were planning a rally and a march, and on the phone with Jimmy Carter, the mayor of Pikeville, securing the park and making sure that we could get out here today. And I was talking to our senator and our superintendent and our representative, and so here we are.
Collins credited teachers with the budget changes approved by the legislature, which included restoring funding for school transportation and adding more money to SEEK funding, the state's school funding formula.
The Kentucky Department of Highways is about to begin a $167,000 repair project on State Route 503 near the Boyd-Greenup County line. Part of the road was badly damaged in February when its embankment fell away near a creek. Alan Blair is the spokesman for the department's District 9 office in Flemingsburg. He says the project to fix Kentucky 503 is scheduled to start on Monday.
We'll see what works out with the weather. Wet weather could impact it slightly, but it's our goal to get it open as soon as possible. Right now, it's just too dangerous to be open to traffic, so we've had it closed for several weeks, and you know we want to really open it quickly. So just as soon as they can get in there, if the conditions are okay for them to start drilling and pushing that T-rail in to the embankment, they'll do that.
Blair didn't provide a timeline for the 503 project. As noted, the damaged part of that highway has been closed for nearly 2 months.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Financial issues and poor health have made Kentucky one of the most stressful states in the nation. That's according to a new report from WalletHub, with Minnesota topping the list as the least stressful place to live. The list considers factors like work-related stress, money-related, family-related stress, and health and safety-related stress. WalletHub spokeswoman Jill Gonzalez says Kentuckians are particularly worried about health care.
We're seeing a really high rate of people unable to afford doctor visits, a lower rate of the insured population, and a bit of an increase in annual health insurance premiums. So those things obviously all tie together.
Financial issues are also a contributing factor as personal bankruptcy rates grow while income stays about the same. Many Kentuckians also live below the poverty rate.
A new study finds that Kentucky is the eighth least financially literate state. WMKY's Peyton Stewart reports.
A free credit score website released its report on 2018's most and least financially literate states. WalletHub's analytical report compares financial education programs and consumer habits in all states. They found that Kentucky is the eighth least financially literate state. The study uses a data set of 15 key metrics, which include a range from high school financial literacy grade to share of adults with a rainy day fund. Only South Dakota, New Mexico, the District of Columbia, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Alaska, and Louisiana have lower scores than the Bluegrass State. New Hampshire is considered to be the most financially literate state. For WMKY News, I'm Peyton Stewart.
Five people have been arrested following a drug raid by the Mason County Sheriff's Office. The Ledger Independent reports the Sheriff's Office got a call on Monday about suspected drug activity at a home on Tangletown Road. When deputies reported to the scene, one person reportedly jumped out of a window and several people ran from the residence. Officers were able to round up the suspects and discovered other people hidden inside the house. Deputies arrested 26-year-old Amy Wilson, 27-year-old Joshua Riley, 33-year-old Jonathan Reed, 34-year-old Bradley Stitt, and 39-year-old Jimmy Dodson. Together, they face charges including possession and trafficking of methamphetamine, cultivation and trafficking of marijuana, and endangering the welfare of a minor. All five suspects are lodged in the Mason County Detention Center.
A teacher and community volunteer in Scioto County, Ohio, has been arrested on sex-related charges involving teenage boys. WSAZ reports 24-year-old Boyd Robbie Shugart allegedly solicited for sex acts and took naked photos of teen boys while they were sleeping and in restroom stalls. Shugart reportedly met some of his victims through his role as a volunteer for the Scioto County Honors Choir. He was also a math professor, a teacher rather, at Clay High School and a youth group volunteer at Cornerstone United Methodist Church in Portsmouth. Pastor Tim Roth says Shugart has been volunteering there for several years.
I'm shocked and saddened and stunned to learn about Robbie's arrest. As a pastor, I've shed a few tears in the past 24 hours. It was hard to sleep last night. So it's been hard for everyone.
Shugart was arrested over Easter weekend after a concerned parent contacted police. He reportedly made plans with a detective posing as a 15-year-old boy to meet in a restaurant parking lot for a sex act for which he was willing to pay $200. Since then, officials say more and more victims have come forward. Shugart remains in the Scioto County Jail on four felony counts, including sexual battery. His bond is set at $300,000. And turning to a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows around 40 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be partly sunny, highs near 60, a slight chance of rain in the evening and gusty winds. And that will bring in the storm tomorrow night with a 100% chance of rain and snow showers. Snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches possible and lows around 30 degrees. The snow continues Saturday morning with an 80% chance of precipitation, highs near 38 degrees. That night, partly cloudy, lows around 18, and on Sunday at the end of the weekend, mostly sunny with highs near 44. It's currently sitting at 51 degrees in Flemingsburg as well as in Lexington. It's 53 right now in Ashland, 50 in Winchester, 52 degrees in Inez, and 50 degrees even here on the campus of Morehead State University.
For the first time in the Commonwealth, certain child protection cases will be open to the public. On our feature segment today, WMKY's Cody Robinson has that story.
In 2016, the Kentucky General Assembly passed legislation that asked the Supreme Court to consider instituting a pilot project to study the effects of opening up certain court proceedings to the public. That project came to fruition March 14th, dubbed the Open Court Pilot Project. Chief Justice John Minton Jr. is forwarding the project along. Minton says child cases have historically had closed proceedings due to speculation regarding what would most benefit the children involved.
It's been an assumption that we have lived with for a long time that conducting child welfare type cases in a private court setting was better for the child. Before we throw wide open the windows and doors to public scrutiny, we need to understand it.
These assumptions, according to Minton, are based on how much more delicate children are to emotional and mental stress in comparison to adults. Things which are easily accepted by older individuals may seem detrimental in the eyes of the children.
We still need to respect the sensitivity of this. You know, child abuse cases are difficult cases. The termination of parental rights is a difficult case. Those types of cases should be handled with sensitivity.
Not only does the open court pilot project allow for different angles on child cases, but also places judges in those cases under public scrutiny for the first time. This gives people who were skeptical of the outcome of child cases the opportunity to see the judge in action.
Sometimes when the proceedings are closed, the public may question what happens in court. And so this gives these judges an opportunity for everybody to see that they are carefully applying the law, that they're carefully listening to the evidence. And so it can be a good thing from the judge's point of view for the public and the communities they serve to see them in court doing their jobs and doing them very well.
The child welfare system itself will be exposed for public viewing for the first time as well.
There has been an effort by some to say, you know what, if we open this up for public view, that we know if the child welfare system is working in Kentucky.
Hopkins, Harrison, Jefferson, Nicholas, Pendleton, and Robertson counties are the areas currently operating in the open court project. Minton says expansion into other counties is not out of the question, but it would be difficult to implement at the moment.
We're making a start, and we're going to see how it goes. And the counties participating may change as time goes on, but we're going to try to do our best because it requires quite a bit of effort on our part to make sure that we monitor these locations the way we're doing it with, you know, questionnaires and examination by staff. So it requires some staff support from the administrative office of the courts.
The open court pilot project is not modeled after any existing procedures, Minton says, so Kentucky is the first in the nation to expand the scope of child protection proceedings.
We've looked around the country to try to find others whose tracks we could follow, and we've really not found any. We've pretty much been confronted with drawing on what we could find from other states, but we're pretty much writing our own plan here.
Minton says just because cases in those counties are operating under the project doesn't mean they absolutely have to. Judges still have the capability to close any proceedings if deemed necessary.
The judge still has the authority. If she or he believes that this will be detrimental, then the judge can order this open court closed for this case.
Child protection proceedings operating under the Open Court Project will continue to do so until 2021, when the Family of Judicial Services will evaluate the viability of open court proceedings based on information gathered during the project. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
It's 4:48 and 50 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Arlo Barnett, and we're so glad you've joined us on this Thursday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pawn, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pawn buys, sells, trades, and loans on just about anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds, tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. Bypass Pawn on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead can be reached at 606-780-7296. Facebook and online at bypasspawn.com.
The Eagles take the field. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Moorhead State baseball team is currently in action over at Allen Field with UT Martin. At last check, the Eagles are up 3-1 in the second inning. Nico Hosizer hit a home run for MSU earlier to give them the lead. This is the first of a three-game series with Martin, which will finish off tomorrow with a doubleheader starting at 1 p.m. The Cincinnati Reds also get back in action tonight when they visit Pittsburgh to start a four-game series with the Pirates. The 1-3 Reds will send Homer Bailey to the mound, while the 4-1 Pirates will go with Stephen Brault. First pitch for that game is set for 7:05. Other scores from around Major League Baseball today, the Mets beat Washington 8-2 earlier. Tampa Bay is up on Boston 2-0 in the ninth inning. Philly is beating Miami 3-0 in the fourth. And Seattle was up on Minnesota 2-0 in the second inning. The Morehead State softball team had another scheduling change. The Eagles were scheduled to travel to Illinois this weekend. However, the Eagles will now host Eastern Kentucky in doubleheader action tomorrow starting at 2 p.m. Head coach David Williams thinks his team has a good chance to pick up some quality wins against a good 20-12 Colonel squad.
Good team. They're playing really well right now. Got a solid pitcher, and they've got some really good position players. So, I mean, it's going to be a really, really good team to play against. I think that they're going to be solid. I think they're extremely beatable. I mean, if we can do what we do that makes us successful, we'll be fine.
MSU will be looking to add to its 18-8 record. Chris Mack says it's been a hectic start to his run as Louisville's new basketball coach. Mack has been trying to settle into his job along with doing some recruiting. In taking the job, he recently told Spectrum News that former coach Rick Pitino told him some important things about the UofL program.
The passionate fans, he said, I'm going to love the community. I'm going to love everything about Louisville, the city, the ACC. He just felt like it's a terrific job. It's a place that really cares about basketball. And, it's a place that he really saw himself spending the rest of his career in coaching at. So he was incredibly supportive. He didn't have to be, and I'm very appreciative of that.
Mack recently signed a 7-year, $28 million contract to become Louisville's new coach. Experts believe he's inheriting a very talented roster from interim bench boss David Padgett. Meanwhile, Rick Pitino thinks his time as a college basketball coach is up. After multiple reports last week claimed Rhode Island and Pitino had agreed to a contract for him to become the school's new head coach, the school's president then stepped in and would not approve the hire. Speaking to Dan Patrick today, Pitino denies those reports, but does admit he's not sure if there's a place in college basketball for him anymore.
It's probably not going to work for me in college basketball because one of the schools was very interested in me, called me and said, look, coach, you showed us everything that you have from a factual standpoint. And they said, we believe in you wholeheartedly. The problem is we call the NCAA, and the NCAA said, we cannot investigate anybody, any school, any person. We can't tell you if they're innocent or guilty because the FBI has told us not to investigate until their case is closed. That's just the way it is. It's going to take years.
Pitino once again said the truth will eventually come out about him and people will realize he was unfairly fired at UofL. Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd says his team will be active during the spring signing period. According to Todd, the Eagles will have a couple of scholarships they'll be looking to fill.
We're going to sign a player from junior college, a wing player, a pretty good shooter. Should have that in the news pretty soon. And then we're still got our eyes open for possibly another post. We're still looking there.
Todd says the MSU women's 2018-19 roster will be helped by two incoming transfers, 6'1 former Rutgers forward Aaliyah June and 5'11 guard Crystal Simmons, who joins MSU from St. John's. Both players set out last season. College basketball spring signing period begins next Wednesday. One piece of big news out of the NBA, Boston Celtics star point guard Kyrie Irving will miss the rest of the season. Irving is having surgery on his knee for the second time in 2 weeks after an infection was found around two screws that were put into his knee during another surgery back in 2015. The two seed in the Eastern Conference and one of the favorites to make the NBA Finals, the Celtics are already without backup point guard Marcus Smart, who had surgery back in March, and star forward Gordon Hayward, who is still recovering from a broken ankle. The NBA playoffs start a week from this Saturday. The Kentucky football team will be without one of its star defensive players for a few months. Coach Mark Stoops announced today that linebacker Jordan Jones, who turned down the NFL to return to Kentucky for his senior year, suffered another shoulder injury that will sideline him for a while.
Jordan Jones is going to be out for the remainder of the spring. He got injured Tuesday in practice, and he will require surgery on his shoulder. We expect a full recovery. It will push it right into about August. So, it's unfortunate. He's been getting better and having a really good spring.
Jones missed four games last season with another shoulder injury that Stoops says was unrelated. The Round County football team is getting set to close the books on its spring practices. Coach Kelly Ford and his assistants have been focused in the last few weeks on teaching the fundamentals along with getting a closer look at some of the Vikings up-and-comers.
That's one good thing about the spring. I mean, it gives those young kids opportunity to shine and get ready to go and have fun and get the live bullets that they may not get during the season. So it really gives it definitely gives us an eye to check out the younger group.
Nearly 60 players have been taking part in the Round football team's spring practices and weightlifting workouts. Finally, in sports, the 2018 Masters got started today. After the first round, Charlie Hoffman and Adam Hadwin are tied atop the leaderboard at 4 under par. Tiger Woods shot a one-over par in his first round, good for 27th on the leaderboard. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Softball plays a doubleheader hosting Murray State at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Sunday, April 15th. And baseball welcomes West Virginia Tech at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, April 18th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks traded higher as tech shares rose, this following a roller coaster ride in the previous trading day. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 240.92 at 24,505.22. The S&P 500 was up 18.15 at 2662.84. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 34.44 at 7076.55. As mentioned, it was a wild trading day yesterday when the Dow Jones Industrial Average rallied more than 700 points from its session low. Tech helped move the market higher yesterday, and it also played a part today in the strength that we saw. Facebook jumped 2%, and also Netflix and Amazon each gained 1.5%. Facebook's move came after CEO Mark Zuckerberg told reporters he has not seen a noticeable change in user behavior in the wake of the Cambridge Analytica data scandal. Wall Street looked ahead to Friday's jobs report. Economists polled by Reuters going into the report expect the U.S. economy to add at least 198,000 jobs in the month of March. Also today, chipmaker Advanced Micro Devices rose 2.1% after a brokerage upgrade. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.4% at $63.65 a barrel. Gold was down 0.8% at $1,329.80 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a gain of 2.4%. In Asia, stocks were actually mixed. The Nikkei was up 1.5%, but the Hang Seng in Hong Kong finished with a loss of 2.2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Dow, DuPont, and Boeing, while the worst performers were Pfizer and Procter & Gamble. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Navient and Marathon Oil, while the worst performers were Micron Technology and Lam Research. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.37 at $70.59, CSX up 13 cents at $55.60, AEP up 27 cents at $68.94, AK Steel up 15 cents at $4.57, Marathon Petroleum up 83 cents at $73.40, and Kroger was down 29 cents to finish at $23.79. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for More Head State Public Radio comes from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you that April is Distracted Drivers Awareness Month. Research by Car and Driver magazine shows that a texting driver is as dangerous as a drunk driver. The Kentucky Office of Highway Safety encourages drivers to keep their eyes on the road and hands on the wheel. Work can wait.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Moorhead Conference Center will host the 2018 Kentucky Proud Expo on April 13th and 14th. Hours are from 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday and 9 to 3 p.m. on Saturday. Kentucky Proud products and vendors will be available with samples and door prizes. Admission is free and the public is invited. A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Moorhead Kroger from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, April 14th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Ellen Barnett, Peyton Stewart, Kenzie Thompson, Paul Hitchcock, Tilden Johnson, Sean Delaney, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Cody Robinson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH and Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.